Last year on the show, we looked into the problem of so-called loot boxes and whether they could be introducing children to gambling. What happens is gamers, people playing these games, can buy cosmetic upgrades for their virtual characters by rolling the dice and opening a box filled with random items. The catch is that it costs real money. And professionals are concerned it's creating a generation of gamblers. We thought it was about time to check back in with Dr. Aaron Drummond from Massey University, who's been keeping an eye on the development of loot boxes and how they might be affecting kids. Hi there, Aaron.
Good afternoon.
Can you remind us exactly what loot boxes are?
Yeah, so I think you've summed it up fairly well there. Loot boxes are kind of randomized rewards that are available in video games. And sometimes, as you say, they're sort of cosmetic rewards that might change the way a character looks, and other times they might actually be functional rewards which increase the chances of winning future games. And so because they're these kind of randomized rewards that give people what they're looking for only occasionally and cost real world money, they bear a sort of striking resemblance to traditional forms of gambling.
And how serious a problem are they? How much are they used by kids who you would not expect to be using them?
Well, this is an interesting question that we need to gather more data on, but what I can tell you is that loot boxes make up about an estimated 25% of revenue from the video game industry. So the video game industry makes about $117 billion worldwide, and about sort of 25% of that comes from loot boxes. So it's about $29 to $30 billion worth of revenue there. Inside New Zealand, we have a sort of $400 million market, so around about $100 million would probably be coming from loot boxes. So there's quite a lot of sales there.
$100 million, it's, if you compare that to other industries, it's quite a big deal, huh?
Absolutely. It's not a drop in the ocean, for sure.
Are they targeted at children or just at whoever happens to be playing the computer game?
I don't think they're targeted at children per se. I think they're targeted at whoever happens to be playing the video game. Certainly, they're kind of a supplemental revenue stream for video game companies to try and gain additional profits off of their games.
And are they addictive?
That's an interesting question. We don't know whether or not they're addictive per se, but what I can tell you is that study after study now have come out consistently showing that people who have gambling problems or who are at moderate or high risk for developing gambling problems tend to spend drastically more on these systems than people who don't have such problems.
What does that tell us?
Well, it suggests that there is this sort of striking similarity that we see between how these mechanisms operate and what they are actually doing is exploiting sort of a vulnerable population of people who may actually be at risk for gambling disorder, giving yet another pathway that they can kind of give their money over for that.
And any idea of the split between children and adults using these things, how prevalent it is among children?
We don't know how prevalent it is among children. We get anecdotal reports that it's quite common. One of the concerns is that there's currently no legislation required to restrict access of loot box-like mechanics to people under the age of consent for gambling in New Zealand or indeed in most countries around the world. What we also know is that quite large proportion of games which are available to minors contain loot boxes, which we would consider to be quite similar to gambling.
How do you physically pay for these things?
So quite often the way that they're paid for will be through a credit card. Some systems, depending on what you're using, PlayStation Network or Xbox, quite often requires you to leave the game in order to go into a new store to purchase the items. Sometimes you can purchase them right from within the actual game that you're playing. The other way that might be quite common, and we need to gather data on exactly how common, is by using gift cards to get around the credit card transactions.
Gift cards?
Yeah, so the gift cards that you can buy in your standard kind of supermarket for PlayStation Network or Xbox Network or whatever the case is, you can buy them with real world money, and then that gets around the need to have a credit card on you.
What sort of money are we talking?
Well, you can buy those for sort of $10 through $50. The average cost of a loot box is around $2.50, but of course the quite often games companies will give you a discount if you buy in bulk, so you might be able to buy sort of 10 or 20 for a slightly reduced discount. But there's some quite large amount of money that is being spent. We've seen people who have reported spending sort of more than $100, more than $200 a month on these items, particularly if they're sort of at high risk for gambling disorder.
How concerned are you about loot boxes?
Well, I think there's cause for concern. I don't think there's cause for alarm. I think certainly they appear to be relatively unethical in that they're exploiting a high-risk population. We need a little more data before we sort of decide that they need to be regulated. I think we don't have quite enough information for that. But I think that one of the critical things is that we need to get the word out there to people about their similarity to gambling so that they can make informed decisions for themselves and for their children.
Are you more worried about kids using loot boxes or problem gamblers using them or being susceptible to them?
I would say I'm equally concerned about both. A recent paper that came out in Royal Society Open Science by my colleague David Zendel in the UK suggests that the relationship between gambling issues and problematic spending on loot boxes is stronger among adolescents. So that suggests to me that certainly a conversation needs to be had about the appropriateness of these kind of mechanisms for adolescents.
And they've just sprung up. That seems to be how capitalism works, doesn't it? It's not hard to get an idea off the ground if it makes money. There's part of the problem that regulators have been too slow in recognising this potential problem and doing anything about it?
Well, I think it's very difficult for regulators to keep up with the pace of technology at the moment. To give you an idea of how quickly these have sprung up, the first known loot box was around 2010, but the number of loot boxes in games in 2016 and 2017 were as many as had ever been released at that point. So they doubled almost in a period of 2 years. So it's very difficult for regulators to keep up with this this information, and it's only just now that scientists and psychologists are looking at whether or not these are problematic. So, yeah, we need to be moving faster to regulate for sure.
And how many people are doing research into these loot boxes so we really understand the scale of the problem and how it might manifest?
So since last year, there's been a large uptake in people who are doing research on loot boxes. I know of about 4 to 5 teams worldwide who are looking at this issue, ourselves included. So there's certainly a sudden uptick in the number of people who are interested in this issue, and I expect that would increase going forward.
What's your plan for your own research?
So we have a Marsden Fast Start grant to look at this over the next 3 years, and we're trying to gather some data both about how these mechanisms work in New Zealand and how people are engaging with them in New Zealand. So we'll be doing some surveys and some population estimates that way. And we'll also be looking at sort of the mechanisms themselves and how they affect human behaviour kind of in some lab-based studies as well.
Any sign of responsibility from the game makers here?
Unfortunately, I had some hope last year that there might be some industry self-regulation going on, but this has wavered back and forward. Some of the industry representatives have seemed willing at some stages to sort of not use loot boxes. It really varies company to company about how much responsibility they're willing to take. So some companies are not at all willing to engage with that. Others are being very responsible and either removing the randomized aspects of loot boxes or removing them altogether.
And what should parents do? Any advice?
So there's two pieces of advice I could offer to parents at this stage. The first is that one of the ways that overspending can occur is when credit card details are stored on devices. So quite often when you log onto your PlayStation and buy something or log onto your Xbox or your even your Apple accounts or your iPhone or your Android phones, it'll store your credit card details for future use. And this makes it very easy for children who get hold of these devices or have access to them to make purchases of items, sometimes without even really being aware that they're spending real-world money. So the first piece of advice I'd offer is to try and look at that and remove your credit card details from those devices so that you have to enter them each time you want to make a purchase, and this will limit sort of overspending. The second thing is sort of talk to your kids, find out what's in these games that they're playing, ask them to show you what they're doing in the games, ask them to show you what kind of monetization is in the games, ask them to show you the store, for example, and that'll give you a pretty good idea of what's going on, and you can have a conversation about whether or not engaging with those mechanisms is appropriate.
Do you think it's a legislation solution, Aaron, or are you hoping that self-regulation might be the answer, or just, you know, the old good old personal responsibility?
I think it's a little bit of all of the above. I think in the most egregious cases where these mechanisms very closely approximate gambling, and that's where those mechanisms are able to be bought for real-world money, are giving players a real-world advantage rather than just sort of a cosmetic one, and where they can actually cash out those items for money, I think that would really be something we'd want to be looking at legislative options. But I think we also want to see a greater amount of consumer awareness around this issue. So we really want to see classification boards disclosing to people that these mechanisms are in the games that they're purchasing at the point of sale, at very least, so that people can make an informed decision for themselves about the appropriateness of that content for themselves and their children.
Any countries or territories doing a particularly good job on this?
It's hard to say. We know that Belgium and the Netherlands have implemented an outright ban on loot boxes. This seems to have been effective in sort of limiting the sale of loot boxes in the country. The company seems to have been complying with that. But I'm not certain that that has been entirely effective, because there are ways that people can get around those by, say, for example, using virtual private networks to make it look like they're in a different country. So we need to be careful to make sure that we're doing the right thing to properly limit the sale of these items.
There's always a way around, and if there's a way around, the kids will work it out, huh?
Yeah, exactly, which is, I think, why we need that increased consumer awareness around these issues.
Any games to look out for in your children's collection?
Well, one of the problems is that which games contain loot boxes and how egregious they are is varying over time, because companies are tending to make alterations to them as legislation comes through so that they can kind of fly under the radar. But the ones that I would certainly be looking very closely at is anything that is a live service game, so anything that is a multiplayer online game that's entirely played online with friends tends to be the ones that contain these kind of loot boxes. So those are the ones I'd take a close look at the stores, see how they're monetizing those items, and be aware of what's in them.
I think FIFA was in the news recently.
FIFA is a big game that does this very regularly. So they have card packs that are randomized. So they're not called loot boxes, but they are entirely the same thing as loot boxes. They contain these randomized rewards. And one of the things that's concerning about FIFA is that there are some aftermarket ways to convert those items into real-world money.
Nice to chat to you. Keep us posted and let us know if there's any developments.
Absolutely will do.
Dr. Aaron Drummond, who is an expert on loot boxes, which seems to be a growing problem, or at least a growing potential problem.